is another member of our affirming team, and Maddie's a bit newer to us. His whole family has joined us in the last year and a half or so, and we're so glad to have all of you here, and so glad that Maddie has joined our affirming team and has something to share today. Okay, go for it. That's fine.
Hi everyone, happy Pride, all of you, each of you, a beloved child of God and a part of his wonderful creation. So we praise our God who loves all his children. We praise his never-ending and unconditional love, like all the time, right? And yet so many people are made to feel unwelcome, unworthy, and unloved, like they don't belong with Jesus, and they don't belong in the church. They don't even belong in society. It's hard not to feel this unbearable shame as an LGBTQ person in this world. Throughout history, they've been used as scapegoats, moral threats, political wedges, targets of humiliation, and targets of violence. And Christianity is undoubtedly one of the deepest causes of this hatred. So to many LGBTQ people, Christianity is associated with distrust and fear and traumatic experiences. So I can understand why being an LGBTQ Christian is shocking to some people. I've heard questions like, why would you want to be a part of something that hates us and harms us? And why would you follow a God that doesn't love you? A God that doesn't love you, that is a very hard thing to face. And there was a time that is how I felt. There was a time where I had known and understood that I was transgender, but I hadn't accepted it at all. I was really in denial. I didn't want to be trans, and accepting myself was one of my biggest fears. I was just really scared of it and wishing that it would go away and I could be normal. The anti-trans movement at that time, so this is a couple years ago, was totally controlling the way I felt about myself. It felt like impossible to ignore. I remember seeing in the news that at an American political conference, a speaker said that transgenderism must be eradicated from public life entirely. I saw hate everywhere, from the US to Alberta to Saskatchewan to here in Richmond. I started to absorb this kind of hate and started to believe some of it, and so much of that was spoken in the name of God, which, you know, things like it's unnatural, it's delusional and disgusting, things like you need Jesus and you're straying from God. So at that point, I thought, maybe I do just need to go to church and I need to pray to God to do something about this. And as much as I didn't want to agree with those kinds of transphobic people, it wasn't a bad idea. I put all my faith in God to figure it out, and I tried to let go of my fears. And that led me to Letting Go, which is the name of a sermon from Bruce a couple years ago, if anyone remembers it. I found a recording of it on the church's website before I even started going here with my family. It was a reflection on John 12:25, and what Bruce said that really stayed with me is this: what are we holding on to so tightly that we might be destroying the possibility of growing into something even more beautiful, of living a life that is flourishing? We need to let go of our old expectations, because if we hold on too tight to a life that doesn't actually exist, we may destroy the life that we could possibly have. And that really, really changed my life. It's hard to say exactly how much it meant to me, because it gave me the strength to let go of who I thought I was supposed to be, and to stop being so afraid of change. It reminds me that change is God's guidance along the path of your life. It's not something that you can avoid, it's something you have to put faith in. As Psalm 139 puts it, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be." Fearfully and wonderfully made. If you translate the original Hebrew words, it's fearfully, meaning in honor and reverence of the beauty of God's creation, and wonderfully, meaning extraordinary, distinct, and set apart from others. Everyone, not in spite of, but because of all their differences, is valued and purposeful and beautiful in God's eyes. One of the biggest arguments I hear from Christians against transgender and, in general, queer people is this: God doesn't make mistakes. Do not go against who you are. But if you've ever actually experienced how deep and real gender dysphoria is, or if you're gay or lesbian or bisexual, you know that this is who you are. And, you know, people have tried to change it. There's, you know, a long history of conversion therapy, and that doesn't work. So you know that this is who you are, and this is how God intended you to be, because God doesn't make mistakes. No one should ever have to feel unloved and unworthy to God because of their orientation or identity. I wish that everybody who needs to hear this knows that God loves his LGBTQ children, and not only because they're a part of his beloved and diverse creation, but also from so many references to Scripture and the Bible that God protects and defends the outcast and the oppressed, and he is always on the side of those who are marginalized in society. So, this Pride Sunday, I want everyone to know that God has pride in you.
I want to share today about safe places. Some of you already know that I have a condition called celiac, and that means that there are certain foods I have to avoid, or I am going to get very, very sick. I have a certain set of, you know, when I go to eat out, there are certain places I know I can go, I can eat, I'm going to be safe eating there. There are other places that I know I can only eat these certain things, or I have to ask for certain accommodations in order to be safe. There are other places I don't go because I don't know, and sometimes it's just too hard to go through all the research, looking up, is this going to be a safe place for me to eat? So yesterday was the Steveston Pride Walk. It was great. I went. There were wonderful speakers. I am wearing almost exactly what I wore yesterday. And because I don't like parking in Steveston, I took the bus. So waiting at the bus stop, all the people who walked by, all the bikers, the people in the cars. You know when you're kind of sitting waiting, you might get that one person kind of just looking at you because, you know, we're all kind of nosy. We just kind of look at people. But it's when you get that second look and then that third look and that fourth look and kind of that weird, you know, why and who are you and why do you look at like that? So I wouldn't say I felt completely unsafe, but I was starting to feel judged. And then even as I got off the bus and was walking through Steveston to get to the meeting point, I was still feeling kind of like I didn't quite belong. And then I got to the meeting point and I fit in. It was just this, I'm not sticking out anymore. So all of that connected to when my first son came out, my first thought was, okay, I was kind of expecting it, and I told him I still loved him. That doesn't change anything. But my next thought was, I was scared for him. As I knew the world was not necessarily a safe place for him. I didn't know how my family would react. I didn't know how his teachers, his friends, the people at church. It was a very scary feeling of knowing I could no longer keep this child of mine completely safe. So just now I support what I can to keep all my children safe. All my children are on, I'm going to say, the rainbow spectrum. But even still, we kind of think of the rainbow like this. Everyone kind of fits into their little slots, their little colors. But it's more like this. And so I'm hoping this is the place we will become, where everyone is welcome and everyone is awesome.
And you can definitely come on up later and have a good look, because I know it's hard to see. Thank you so much, Brenda, and thank you, Maddie, for sharing from your own experience. I would echo what Brenda said when our son came out as being part of the LGBTQ plus community. We were worried for him, but felt like things would be okay. When our daughter came out as trans and started riding transit as she transitioned, we worried so much about her safety, because we knew that we couldn't trust our community to be kind all the time or safe. And that's part of why I am certainly passionate, along with, I know, many of you, about the importance of our affirming process and the learning process that we actually all need to go through as a community, about how to create a truly safe environment. We're not too worried about people suffering violence here in our community. We're good United Church folks, but It is a kind of violence that people can experience when they feel judged, uncomfortable, like they stick out, that they don't fit. The Beatitudes speak of an upside-down world. Jesus talked about those who were suffering as being blessed. And many people have asked for centuries, what's he talking about? He was talking about a vision of a world that's turned upside down, and all are safe. That those who suffer are cared for and loved and blessed. So I invite you to enter into some reflection of your own today and in this coming week of Pride Week here in Richmond about where and how we can each participate personally and collectively to make our community, our places of work, our schools, our streets, our parks, our homes safer and more loving for all who are there in all of our fabulous differentness.